Our next speaker is Carrie Feldman from the Twin Cities. Now, she is a grand jury resister, jailed for contempt of court in November 2009, so she'll be able to tell us a little bit about that experience. But what I want to know is how she was subpoenaed over a animal rights protest that actually happened in Iowa, at the University of Iowa in 2004. So if you want to come and explain that, how that works, be great to hear it. Carrie?
I just wanted to start off by thanking the organizers for inviting me to be on this panel. I want to say that I'm honored to be speaking with people who've been, you know, fighting for liberation and resisting these things since before I was born. It's really inspiring to see. So as you said, my name is Carrie Feldman. I'm from Minneapolis. I've been involved in anarchist organizing in the Twin Cities for a number of years. I started off in anti-war movements specifically, as well as some animal rights. I was involved alongside a lot of the members of the anti-war committee in protests at the RNC. And in more recent years, I've been involved in activist legal support groups and prisoner support groups in the Twin Cities. So in November 2009, I was subpoenaed by two federal agents to a grand jury that was happening in Davenport, Iowa. He wanted to know how it was that I got subpoenaed. That was a mystery to me, too, at the time. You know, they handed me the subpoena, and I had never been to Iowa. As far as I was concerned, it was this, like, mystery void down south. So I learned more. I've learned more. It's a lovely place. But at the time, I had no idea. So I was totally shocked when I first got subpoenaed. I didn't know what it was about. They didn't tell me. They didn't try to ask me any questions about it. It didn't say on the subpoena. But going home, doing some research, talking to a few lawyers, it became clear pretty immediately that they were investigating an Animal Liberation Front action that happened in 2004 in Iowa, which was when I was 15 years old. So I knew right away when I got the subpoena, even though I didn't know what it was about, that I wasn't going to testify. And that was thanks in large part to the education that had gone on in the radical community in the Twin Cities about grand juries, about the history of resistance. I knew that they were used to target activist movements, and I knew right away that I wasn't going to cooperate. And a lot of people, you know, early on when this was happening, and I was saying, you know, I don't know anything about this. I was 15. I wasn't in Iowa. A lot of people were like, well, then why don't you just go tell them that? Why don't you just go in there and say, I don't know anything about it? And so I want to highlight, I'm sure a lot of you are aware of the reasons to not cooperate with the grand jury, but I just want to highlight some of that again, because it's not, you know, it's not as clear when you're in that situation and it's really scary. It's hard to take that stand sometimes. First of all, the grand jury is very secretive. You don't always know what they're even investigating, what they're looking, who they're investigating, what they're going to ask you about. You don't know if information that you have could in some way incriminate someone in a way that you have no idea. Or if, even more likely, the information you have could help them get new subpoenas, subpoena more people to the grand jury, extend this sort of fishing expedition to find people, to target people. And you don't have a lawyer, you're not able to have a lawyer in the room with you to help you navigate that territory, help you understand what kind of questions are okay to answer and not, or a lawyer to object when they ask questions that are illegal to ask. And there's no public record of what goes on in a grand jury. If you go in and you say, well, I didn't say anything that incriminated anyone, that still can sow a lot of distrust in radical communities, a lot of confusion, because no one knows what you said, no one knows what they asked you, or, you know, then they go and subpoena more people, they say, well, is it because you said name names? It's not, you know, it's not open and clear that way. They can also try to trap you or twist your words, and if you do say something that they, you know, they say is a lie and they can charge you with perjury, perjury is a felony crime. You can serve 5 years in prison for lying to a grand jury. And one of the biggest reasons for me in particular was just to have this chance to take a stand and to really put a wrench in the gears of their investigation to say, grand juries are abusive, they're not okay, and I'm gonna stand up and I'm gonna do what I can to help end that and to help spread the word about that and really make a point in that way. Unlike the activists who've been subpoenaed now, who had, you know, it's been sort of drawn out for a long time, I had one day from when I was subpoenaed, I had to drive down to Iowa the next day and appear before the grand jury right then. What I decided to do was to go in and read a statement telling them why I wasn't going to cooperate with the grand jury. So I have that statement here, and I'll share that with y'all. First of all, I would like to state, unequivocally and most certainly for the record, that I have no intention of testifying before this grand jury. Based on information from the prosecutor indicating that I may be a target of this investigation, I am invoking my Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. But beyond that, I'm refusing to cooperate based on a sincere belief that to do so would run counter to my deeply held convictions and values. Grand juries were originally created to prevent arbitrary indictments, but are now used as a tool of the prosecution to gather information. Grand juries undercut basic rights supposedly granted in the Constitution by denying access to counsel and coercing testimony. They are now, and have been for some time, used to investigate and intimidate those who would express dissent. This is only effective when we are complicit, when we are frightened, and when we are divided. Today, my voice may waver as I stand alone in this room, but I know I speak with the voice of every one of my friends, loved ones, and comrades when I say this. We will not be intimidated. We will not cooperate. I have nothing more to say to you. Well, and so, because a lot of people in this room are facing the possible experience of going into a grand jury, I'm going to be kind of real with you about what it's like in there. You don't get to sound that cool, or at least I didn't. I was terrified. I was alone, you know, in there. And so it was kind of funny. I didn't think they were going to let me read a statement. I thought the prosecutor was going to say, you know, order, you can't do that. And actually, the court reporter kept having to say, slow down, I need to write this all down. But they, you know, after that, the prosecutor tried to ask me a few questions, not even about the investigation, really, but more about me refusing to cooperate. He told me that I could be held in contempt of court. And then the grand jury members themselves, actually the people on the grand jury, get to ask you questions as well. So a few people tried to ask me questions, and I just kept saying, you know, I'm not cooperating with the grand jury. I'm not answering any questions. And then one woman finally said, her question was, does your mother know you're doing this? Yeah, I told my mom. But I said, wait, I'm not answering any questions. So after that, I was actually re-subpoenaed to come back a month later because they had to get, you know, permission from the federal, from DC or wherever, to grant me immunity, as a lot of the activists are facing very similar situations now. And when I came back a month later to respond to the second subpoena, I was held in civil contempt of court. And I was taken to jail right then, as well as another person who had actually been subpoenaed during that month between my two subpoenas. He was also refused to cooperate, Scott DeMuth, and was taken to jail at the time. So being in jail was definitely very isolating. There were definitely times that were incredibly difficult. But I think for me, it was actually a time where I learned a lot, and I got to meet people who, you know, I still keep in touch with some of my cellmates. And I got to really see the way that we, as radicals and activists being targeted, aren't exceptional in, you know, the tactics that the justice system uses. I was in with people who had faced the same thing with a grand jury. My cellmate, you know, had tons of people cooperate against her in grand juries. They subpoena people's family members in a lot of, like, drug conspiracy cases. They bring in, you know, parents to testify against their children, and if they don't, they go to jail. It's something that we really need to recognize, the way that this targets more people than us, and keep that in mind when we're talking about the grand jury as an abusive system. So being in there and going through trying to make legal challenges against the grand jury, at times it felt very helpless. You know, I'd read these documents I had from my case, and basically the prosecutor's just like, we don't have to tell you anything. You don't have any due process rights. If you want to get out, testify. And so that felt very disempowering at times, but I think it was important for me to keep in mind the whole time that I was always the one with the power and the choice over whether I was going to cooperate. I always have that, no matter what they do. And, you know, they have all this weight that they can throw down on you, locking you up, isolating you from other people, but they can never really touch that spirit that you have, that will to resist, and to, you know, the connections that you have with your community who loves you and supports you. I ended up being in for 4 months before I was released. I was fully expecting to be in for 18 months because, you know, my legal challenges hadn't worked. It was totally at the whim of this prosecutor who was very, you know, on a mission from God to punish the wrongdoers. And, you know, in every piece of, you know, every court document that I got, it seemed very clear that it was intent on keeping me in jail. But after 4 months, I was actually released without any explanation. They just said they didn't need my testimony anymore. But, you know, 4 months or 18 months or whatever, that time will end. You know, it's scary, it's terrifying, not knowing how long it's gonna be, not being able to plan your life at all while you're waiting for this stuff to go through, but that's gonna come to an end. And what you'll have for the rest of your life, is the knowledge that you took that stand and you did what was right, and you didn't let them take that from you. So knowing that, as well as you know, all of the support that I got from people throughout the entire time really helped to keep me strong. And I really want to highlight the way that it's, you know, I'm talking about it in a very personal context, because that's how it felt a lot of the time. I was very isolated. But, you know, they use these grand juries, and they really are targeting a movement, and it really is a movement that comes together and resists them and stands up. And that was so huge to me to have people. I got letters from around the world. There were maybe a couple of days into the entire 4 months that I was there that I didn't get a piece of mail. You know, I got letters from people I didn't know. I got letters from old friends. All kinds of people were letting me know that they supported me, and that was huge. It helped me stay strong. And I'm sure that the activists today, they've expressed as well how much it means to them to have people out and having people support them. So I just want to thank everyone again for showing that and say that, you know, on my name on the little sheet, it says Carrie Feldman, grand jury resister. But, you know, everyone who's out here and who's a part of this and who's standing up and, you know, taking a stand against grand juries, we're all grand jury resistors, whether or not you get subpoenaed to the grand jury. And then I just wanted to close with one of the panelists earlier had said something about how this experience has brought people together across movements. And, you know, there were a lot of people who were subpoenaed recently were familiar faces to me, but I didn't know very well. And I've been really glad to get to know people more, to get to see what strong, brave people they are. And, you know, throughout this experience, I hope that we can come together, you know, across movements and really make this a chance to grow. Thank you.